Hello. Welcome to the SearchSOA.com podcast. My name is Michael Meehan, editor at SearchSOA.com. Today I'm speaking to Dave Rosenberg, CEO at MuleSource. Hello, Dave. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Well, great to have you. Today we're going to be talking about all things ESB. Dave, of course, is in charge of the Mule ESB, which is popular with a whole lot of you out there. And so we're going to dive right into it. The first thing I'm going to toss at you today, Dave, is a comment that was made by Ann Thomas Maines of Burton Group at one of our recent seminars. She was talking about how users need to start thinking about an ESB more as an implementation bus than an integration bus. And she was saying that the reality is you're going to have multiple ESBs instead of one inside of your architecture. And I wanted to ask you, do you agree with that? And then what are some of the things that are going to come out of that? What are some of the things you need to plan for if that's going to be the case?
Yeah, well, I agree with that 100%. I mean, this is something that we've been talking about since really the inception of the company. And even when the open source project with the Mule project existed on its own, we found that people were using multiple instances and in effect creating a backbone versus sort of saying, here's one giant ESB and you're going to connect everything into it. You might find, for example, that your throughput requirements or, you know, something like your interface is too complicated to connect to that one major bus, and so you put an instance of Mule or another ESB in front of each app, and as I said, you create this backbone effect, which is much more palatable in the long run, and it's also a lot more realistic. We tend to call it more of like an enterprise service network, where you would have multiple instances of the bus. In terms of the actual phrase about an implementation bus, I'm not sure if it makes total sense, but I do think that you're dealing with more than just integration, and you're also, in effect, you know, SOA in the clinical sense is really not about integration, right? And the analysts will bang you over the head until you agree with them on that one. And so what we've seen is that integration is kind of one component of what SOA means, but I definitely agree with the approach of having multiple buses.
Yeah, and actually, to add a little more to that, Enterprise Services Network was a phrase that Ann Thomas Maines was using in describing what she was talking about.
Yeah, and we see a lot of that. I mean, you know, just kind of thinking off the top of my head, we have a lot of users who have, you know, typically we see people start out with, say, 2 to 4 instances, and then as they start to scale out an infrastructure, we'll see, you know, I don't know, maybe 6 to 12, and then we have other guys who have over 100 instances, right? So we have a big bank as a customer who have 500 applications that they eventually will put onto this one sort of backbone over the course of the next, say, 3 years or so. They're up to about 75, and I think within that 75, they have 68 or so instances of Mule.
Hmm. Let me ask you about what happens if, say, I've got, a dozen apps running on Mule, and then I've got another dozen apps running on JBoss, another dozen apps running on TIBCO. What needs to be in place in each of those service buses to make sure that if I need to cross from app to app on different service buses, what needs to be there to make sure that everything's running smoothly?
Well, you picked ones that are good in the sense that they all have defined interfaces and are all sort of standards-based, versus like if you'd said, hey, what if I want to connect a bunch of Microsoft apps and use the Microsoft Web Services Framework? You'd have a different set of challenges. Fundamentally, it shouldn't be terribly difficult to make them talk to one another. Now, if you're actually trying to replace one with another, it's kind of a different story. But, you know, in terms of protocols and just sort of generalized standards, all three of those examples should talk to each other seamlessly. And, I mean, that's sort of, I think sort of that holy grail, right, where it shouldn't really matter what's in there. We obviously would tell you to use Mule. But, you know, if you have other components, they should integrate. I mean, that's kind of the vision of what SOA means anyway, of having this loosely coupled ability where technology doesn't really matter so much. Technology becomes the enabler.
One of the things that you mentioned Microsoft, one of the things that you sometimes hear is the old paradigm of Java versus .NET. Though I'm curious, is it really Java versus .NET anymore, or is it Java plus a whole bunch of other stuff out in the open source universe and then .NET?
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. You know, Java itself, building giant J2E apps, you know, I'd rather sort of have to deal with a severe beating rather than build out a giant J2E application at this point. But, you know, there are things, you know, the Spring frameworks have made life a lot easier about building Java apps, and JBoss is pretty easy to use when it comes to an app server. But you know, you're dealing with, I guess, different levels of complexity. But I also think you're dealing with a different developer type. A Java developer tends to be a lot more sort of ingrained in the code, is more likely to build modularly versus a .NET developer who's going to tend to take more advantage of the things that are given to them. And so we've seen a lot of progress in .NET, I think. The .NET, I think the next version is like 2.x, something like that. It's gotten a lot better, and the WCF stuff has gotten a lot better. But, yeah, I mean, the camps are really still pretty divided. I mean, one of the fundamental issues with Microsoft is that those .NET developers still wait for Microsoft to give them stuff. They're not out there writing a ton of components like you see around Java and open source.
And let's move up into the infrastructure area. We recently wrote a story on MuleSource, which said, hey, you do a really good job at sort of those basic ESB functions, and what one of the analysts was looking for was a little more plug-in with things like web services management, XML gateways, registry repository products, you know, outside of MuleSource. I'm curious as to what's your roadmap on that? How do you go from being, you know, a good open source, you know, product to being a good open source product that also ties well into other products?
Yeah, and so I spent a bunch of time with Chris Haddad from Burton about this, and I think, you know, the bigger challenge than even becoming the product is becoming better at marketing when you're an open source company. So we do, for example, support things like BPM, and we do support things like AmberPoint and stuff like that. And we announced in January the first open source registry repository governance platform called Galaxy, which got really favorable reviews even in its beta. And, you know, the first day we had about, I want to say we had about 300 or so people download it, and within about a week we had 80 or so people who were submitting bugs and fixes and things like that. So we've started to look at where do we fit in, right? Where does open source make sense? And we believe it definitely is in the ESB, right, because no one has the same integration problem, and we know that this is a challenge, and we also know that a lightweight approach has been pretty effective so far, so we've definitely gone down that path. Now, of course, the ESB needs to integrate with any sort of Beeple product and various other things. We launched Galaxy, which does, which really is, you know, sort of a next generation registry repository. So it has more of a RESTful API approach than it does a UDDI approach. But regardless, all of these things integrate with an AmberPoint. They integrate with other vendor systems. One of our test cases for BPM is the Oracle with BPM, which with the Calaxa product. We also have tried with things like Intallio and JBPM and all this other kind of stuff. So we put the core Mule and Galaxy through the full battery of tests. I just don't think we've been great about telling people that it does all these things, because really, you know, the challenge of being sort of a growing company is what do you focus on? Now that we're playing with the big boys, we have to get a lot better about telling the story. And I think a lot of open source companies have this challenge. You know, how do you sort of get this ecosystem compatibility, right?
And you talk about that. I mean, to a degree, is it that you've been very successful in explaining to developers, okay, here's how you use an enterprise service bus, here's the things you do with it, now it's that matter of saying to the architects, okay, here's how we fit inside of this big picture you've drawn.
Exactly. Yeah, we haven't been completely effective at. And I also think that just because the market, you know, this SOA market kind of makes giant leaps one way or another. Because if you remember, I don't know, 2 years ago, BPM was really hip. Now you never hear about BPM. Now everything is about governance. You know, so we saw that trend coming, and really what we looked at is, what does SOA infrastructure look like? And we believe it's the ESB and the assortive components. So, you know, we have a systems management, we have a data management tool. And then we really believe that governance is the next key to be able to make all these things work together. I think all the other things are definitely important. And testing, you know, has not really been well done as yet. I think you've got AmberPoint, you've got SOA Software, who are dealing with sort of different aspects of lifecycle management and things like that. But yeah, we told a good developer message. I just think that, you know, the product kind of took off where we had the moment of thinking, well, we thought that this was a good idea, and then it turned out we were right, and we haven't quite caught up with that yet.
And let me ask you, I mean, you're talking about, you know, looking down the road. I mean, what are you looking down the road at? What is coming on that roadmap?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff going into the core Mule product, things like real more advanced support for REST and some additional features there. We're going to have hot deployment, things like that are going to be in the next versions. You know, support for more web services, things like we already support CXF, but now it's native. We're working on all sorts of things around clustering and just sort of high availability scenarios. And, you know, I think with the ESB, I by no means would I say have we sort of reached the peak, but at this point what we've seen is that our product is, in fact, better than a lot of the proprietary offerings. You know, so typically open source is kind of like an 80-20, and you kind of make up for it. But we actually now believe we're sort of, you know, over 100% of what you would get from a proprietary vendor. And so we are focusing on Mule, obviously. We also are spending a lot of time on Galaxy and being able to get these products integrated, do things like auto-discovery of services and auto-discovery of lifecycle, you know, more management tools associated with governance, and then eventually getting all these tools to talk to one another. So we have, you know, a data management tool that we'd like to be able to have be governed by Galaxy, and we have systems management functions that we'd like to be governed by that, and we'd like to have service availability through Galaxy pop up, you know, in the ESB, right, without having to do anything. So there's a lot of different things that can be done. In terms of integrating with other products, we're spending a lot of time now with some very large companies, many who have acronyms, you could figure them out. And other interesting areas like networking companies, looking at how do we deal with things like XML transformations, either in an appliance model or even just kind of, you know, HTTP, how do we take an XML request, transform it into something else. The other big thing that we spent some time on in Q4 that we're spending more time on now is this kind of integration as a service or the whole platform as a service idea. And we've developed relationships with the big SaaS guys to be able to help them really get enterprise data in and out of these giant systems, right? Because a SaaS application, in most cases, is just a silo. And really, you know, what Mule excels at is having this ability to get data from different places.
Yeah, and actually, one of your former competitors has been bought by basically a SaaS company. And
yeah.
Now, yeah, so.
Yeah, which I think, you know, that was a good move. I mean, I think it's unfortunate for Cape Clear, but they also didn't have anywhere to go. But I think it was a good move by Workday because behind the scenes, no one knows or cares what's running back there, right? It's kind of like the Wizard of Oz kind of thing. Like, ooh, it just works. It's a black box. Who cares? And people are more accepting of that in a SaaS world than they are in the enterprise.
Mm-hmm. Good point. We tend to want too much information in the enterprise.
Yeah, exactly.
So, well, anyway, great talking to you today, Dave. Thanks
yeah,
for stopping by.
It.
And I hope you at home appreciated the podcast, and we'll probably be talking to Dave again sometime in the near future. Good day, all.